Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
If there are any first-time visitors here today, I don't really see any, but if there are, we'd like to welcome you and thank you for coming and worshiping with us today. Now, if you'd like to take a minute and just welcome and greet the ones around you. Are there any announcements this morning or prayer requests or concerns?
The announcements are in the bulletin.
I got one. I forgot this one. There is a community gospel fest which benefits the community Meals on Wheels program in Eastern Williamson County. And practice as for the community choir starts today. There will be this Sunday, next Sunday at the Methodist Church. Following practices will be at the Edwards Church down off the Barno Road in Franklin, and that is where Gospel Fest will be held. If you are interested in singing with a community choir, it's lots of fun among the folks locally. There's three songs we're learning. One is How Great Thou Art. Do you know that one? Please come at 3 o'clock and join Connie McCain with the Methodist Church and lots of other local folks. Whether you can sing or not, the other thing is our church has been asked to participate, but we haven't had a choir for a while, so we're not sure. I think the praise band may try to help us out, but if anybody wants to sing with the Jenkins group and have a part of the gospel fest, there are about sometimes 6 to 9 churches participating. It's a great thing, and the community choir is also fun. So if you've got 3 or 4 Sunday afternoons you can give up to practice, come join us at 3 today at the Methodist Church in
Milton. Okay. There will be no youth tonight. There is a session meeting and committee meeting, so there's no youth tonight. And there's a sign-up out in the back table for October 9th. There's a Casting Crowns concert. I'm ordering tickets Tuesday, so if you or your family would like to go ahead and sign up. And I saw one more back here.
Most moved, inspired, impressed.
if we could pause for a moment of prayer, preparing our hearts for worshiping God. Stand and follow along with me in the call of worship this morning. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty.
Just and true are your ways, King of the ages.
Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name?
For you alone are holy.
All nations will come and worship before you.
For your righteous acts have been revealed.
I am not skilled to understand what God has willed, what God has planned. I only know at His right hand stands one who is my Savior. Take Him at His word and His deed. Christ died to save me, this I read. And in my heart I find a need for Him to be my Savior, that He would leave His place on high and come for sinful man to die. You count it strange, so once did I. Before I knew my Savior, my Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior is always there for me. My God He was, my God He is always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior is always there for me. My God He was, my God He is always gonna be. Yes, live and die and let me breathe. My strength, my soul is from this spring, that He who lives to be my King once died to be my Savior, that He would leave His place on high and come for sinful man to die. You count it strange, so once He died. Before I knew my Savior, my Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior is always there for me. My God He was, my God He is always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior is always there for me. My God He was, my God He is always gonna be. That He would leave His place on high and come for sinful man to die. You count it strange, so once did I. Before I knew my Savior, my Savior lives, my Savior loves, my Savior is always there for me. My God He was, my God is always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior is always there for me. My God He was, my God. always gonna be.
Deeper than we can comprehend. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness, that you are always going to be, that you are alive, and that we worship alive God, an alive Savior. We thank you, Lord, that you were willing to go to the cross for us, but we thank you that death could not hold you. That when the penalty had been paid for our sin, that God raised you up to resurrection life. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being your people and honoring and serving you. And Lord, we pray for this hour that we could honor you through every aspect of it. The music, the reading of your scripture, the proclaiming of your word, the affirmation of what we believe, the giving of our gifts. Thank you for the privilege of coming together with fellow Christians to worship and praise you. And thank you, Lord, for those around the world who are meeting right now, or met in a different time zone, in a different hour, or will meet later in this 24-hour period. Thank you that we are not alone, but people around the world are praying for us, and we're praying for them, and rejoicing in your blessing upon our lives. And Lord God, we offer ourselves and our prayer in the name of Jesus, now praying as he taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
If you follow along with me for our statement of faith, it can be found either on the screen or in the hymnals, number 716. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Call to confession comes from Psalm 103, verse 10. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. In unison, O God of compassion, if you kept a record of our sins, who could stand? We come before you with our brokenness and our wounds for all to see. We bring our anger, our bitterness, our unwholesome talk, and our deceitfulness. We try to do good, but sometimes fail. We choose to do evil, and sometimes succeed. Keep your promise to forgive us when we confess to you completely. Without you, we have no hope. Friends, hear these words of assurance and know that for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us.
Let's all turn our hymns now to hymn 26. A mighty fortress is our God.
Lord,
offertory sentence this morning comes from 1 Chronicles 29:14. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Will the ushers please come forward?
Please be seated.
We have welcomed Anna into our midst, and Nancy and I have a signal if she needs help in the nursery, and during the last hymn it was buzzing, so I had to rush out to the nursery and see, and Sabetta's gone to try to help with Anna. A lot of things go on behind the scenes.
Thank you.
and the children can come forward for a children's message, and we do have children's church after.
Good morning.
Our scripture lesson this morning will be read by Chelsea Wilkerson.
Today's scripture comes from Psalm 89, verses 5 through 18, and 1 John 4, verses 7 through 10. The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness too, and the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. O Lord, God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. You crushed Rahab like one of the slain. With the strong arm, you scattered your enemies. The heavens are yours, and yours also the earth. You founded the world and all that is in it. You created the north and the south. Tabor and Hermon sing for the joy at your name. Your arm is endued with power. Your hand is strong, your right hand exalted. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of the presence, of your presence, O Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They exult in your righteousness. For you are their glory and strength, and by your favor you exalt our horn. Indeed, our shield belongs to the Lord, our King to the Holy One of Israel. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The word of God for the people of God.
More about God. I talked about God last week. Probably a good subject for church people, Christian people, to talk about God. Didn't have any objections to it that I heard, and that was nice. Not that I usually have objections to the sermon, but God. What do you know about God? What about your relationship with God? I believe in God. Part of my belief comes from Psalm 89. Part of my belief comes from 1 John 4. But that tells us just a little bit about God. A lot, but not everything. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. The God that we pray to in the Lord's Prayer, or any prayer, our Father, our Heavenly Father, our Father which art in heaven, or our Father who is in heaven. I believe in God and trust that you do too. Your presence here this morning says that you have some interest in God or some knowledge of God. Psalm 89, John, 1 John chapter 4, a portion of it. What do we learn about God in Psalm 89 and 1 John 4. Well, I've called it a taste. I said just a little bit. Years ago, somebody said, Larry, you need to use more illustrations in your sermons. And I have trouble with illustrations. I like them. I like them when other people use them. I can relate to them. It is said that illustrations in a sermon are like windows in a building. They let light in, or they help you to see things better. But I have trouble finding illustrations that relate to the Scripture or what I'm saying. So I like them, I'm for them. If there are not too many of them, but I have the difficulty, and it's myself, some of my limitations. And how I justify that is I say, as I was talking a few weeks ago about Sergeant Friday, just the facts, ma'am. So my claim is to cover up my limitation on finding illustrations and being diligent enough to keep searching for them till I find one is that I just depend on the facts. And I'm not sure that that's always the best. But I got an illustration this morning, and it's a weak one, but I wanted, it says what we can learn from two passages about God. Anybody ever go to Baskin-Robbins? Do you still go to Baskin-Robbins? Now, I remember years ago, a year or two ago, I mentioned another brand of ice cream and got accused of being the reason that people gained a lot of weight because they went out and bought it and ate too much of it and gained a lot of weight. But it was pretty good, or they wouldn't have done that. But I won't even call that name again, but I had to quit eating it myself. It's still great ice cream. I'm buying another brand, and every bite I say, not as good as that other one. Not as good as that other one. Okay. But anyhow, go to Baskin-Robbins, and I'd even forgotten how many flavors they used to have. I think they added to it. But we lived at Madison. At the Madison Square Shopping Center, there was a Baskin-Robbins outlet, a little Baskin-Robbins store, if you call it a store, parlor, I guess, ice cream parlor. And occasionally we'd go to the Baskin-Robbins, Carol and I and the girls, or me and the girls, and I guess they went sometime too without me. But you'd go in and you'd see a new flavor. They had 31 flavors. That was their big advertisement back then. I don't know what they would do when they got a new one. Would they throw that old one away? But we'd go and they'd have a new flavor and you could sample it. And you know how big that sampling spoon was? About as big as my thumbnail, if that big. It was limited. It was limited in the amount that you got when they let you sample. I guess they still do that. But they had probably a 3-gallon bucket set there. Why wouldn't they give you a little bit more where you could get a real sampling? Well, why won't I give a little more scripture about, or a little more about God than what Psalm 89 says? Well, we talked a little bit last week, got a sampling. We talked a little bit this week. God is a big subject, you know? So I can only give a sampling at one sermon. But my intention, my hope, my dream is that we can continue and use big words next week like omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, if I said them right, and talk more about God next week. But let's talk about God this week and a few things. And in Psalm 89, it talks about God being mighty. You heard that. Mighty. It talks about God being faithful. You found that in that passage, did you not? That word, His faithfulness, I think it is. So He is faithful. It talks about God being the Creator. The Creator. At least we're going to talk about it. He is the owner of heaven and earth. Wow. Who owns all that up there? Who owns all this? We think we own the land that our house is on, do we not? We even have a deed to it. But guess what? It's a temporary deed. It's a temporary deed. It won't last forever. We may keep it. It may even stay in our family for 400 or 500 years, but not likely. The United States, very limited. number of parcels of land that's been in the same family that long. Because those families kind of pass away. It is God. It is God who is the owner of heaven and earth. And let's never forget that. It's His earth that we are living on or being privileged to stay on just a little while. See, earth is not our home. We're pilgrims passing through. Heaven is our real home. And that's where we are paying for. If He is righteous, He does right. He lives right. He acts rightly, good, not wrongly. He is just. Wow. We call for justice. God is just. God is always just. God is ruler. God is power. He has power. He is power. God is strength. And then God is love. That was the emphasis of 1 John, but it's also of the Gospel of John. God is love. Paul talked a great deal about faith, but he talked about love too. Jesus talked about love. Revealed to us, showed us the love of God. 1 John says that God is love. 1 John 4. Last week, we talked about God is alive. Folks, God's still alive. He was alive last week, and He is alive this week, and He will be alive next week.
Amen.
If anybody tells you that God is dead, say, if you have, well, I talked to him a few minutes ago. That's what we said. Dr. Graham said, Billy Graham said some years ago in the 60s when this guy came out and kept writing about God is dead. And somebody asked Dr. Graham about it. Allegedly, he said, well, that's strange, because I talked to him this morning. And Chelsea had a little bumper sticker she saw. What? God is dead. Nietzsche. Did I say that right? Nietzsche. A great philosopher of times gone by. And then the next line on the bumper sticker was, Nietzsche is dead. God. Nietzsche died. Thank you for bringing that this morning. Okay? God is alive. He sustains. He governs. He cares for the world that He created. You know, some people, there's one theory about God and the world. I think I've said this before. It's like He created the world and He flung it out into space, and it's just kind of going down like an alarm clock that you, a wind-up clock. Now, we used to have an 8-day clock on our mantle. Strike and keep you awake. If you was just there for a short time, after a while you got used to it. 7 or 8 days with no sleep or waking up every hour, you'd finally get used to it and sleep through it. And that would tick away. Some people describe God and the earth as that He's wound us up and it has nothing to do with us. He's sitting over here and waiting for us to wind down or come unwound. That's not God. That's not what the Bible says about God. That's not the God that I know. He is active in the affairs of people. He created us and He cares about us. Someone put it, He shapes the whole history of the world and He makes a path for His people. If you want to read about that, go and read the book of Exodus. About the third or fourth chapter, you'll find where He made a path even through the water. Or go to the book of Joshua and find out where He, through the water of the sea, He made a path, a dry path for His people. He delivers His people. Again, the Exodus. Or go to Babylon. In the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, you find where He delivered His people from Babylonian captivity and led them back to the land that He had given to them and their ancestors way back in Abraham. How many years before? 600 or 700 or 1200 years before. I'm not sure of the math on that. God saves. God punishes. We need to be aware of that part of God. He punishes. He corrects us for our own good, like that. Did you call it discipline at school? Or the puppy with the puppy dogs too? I forgot the word that you used. It sounds tough now, but it's good for us in the long run. Somehow we don't collaborate on what she's going to say and what the sermon's about, but somehow they always, or almost always, relate one to another. God has a direct personal interest in the affairs of people. Yours. God cares what you're doing. He is interested in the things that you're doing. Nobody cares. God does. That guy went in and shot some people this week in a health club. Did he not know about God? Women had rejected him. But God cared. Somehow he didn't know that. That God cared for him. Maybe he didn't think about that. God is living, as opposed to the gods made of stone or wood or metal by man. What's the God in your life? There was a time in life when your bicycle, if you were a boy, if you are a boy or a man, there may have been a time when you worshiped that bicycle and you washed it and you shined it and you made sure that it was safe every night. It was the center of your life. And then there was probably a time that when the television screen was central in your life and you washed it and you were committed to it and you had to see the soaps and all like that. Some people used to take wood, a tree, and cut it down. It was dead then, but then they'd cut faces and other shapes on it and worship the tree. Or they'd take some metal. Back in Exodus, they took some metal, some gold, and made a calf out of it and lifted the calf up and began to bow down and worship it. But these were dead objects. They were inanimate objects, we learned to call them somewhere along the way. God is a true God because He is alive. He is the living God and the everlasting King. One put it, at His wrath, the earth will tremble and the nations will not be able to endure His indignation. When God gets angry and shows His anger, watch out, folks. Be careful. We must be careful. Read the Old Testament and find out how He has exercised His anger. Praise God for Him sending Jesus to take away our sin, because our sin, our iniquity, our transgressions of the law that angers Him. But it's more of a hurt that His creation have chosen to go astray and to not worship Him. That it is a madness. I still remember a little boy, I was talking about not being mad. And I was doing a children's sermon once, or children's portion of the service once. That may be the reason I quit. And this little boy, I said, not being mad. This little guy said, well, you get mad. And I said, open my mouth. I said, well, when do I get mad? And he says, we were sitting about right here in another church, about right here on the steps. And he pointed up to the pulpit. He says, when you're up there, you get mad. Well, I'm not mad, folks. God, He's more hurt at us when we do wrong. He's hurt like a child does something wrong, and the parent is more hurt than they are angry. The nation will not be able to endure His indignation. The gods that have not made the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. But God is everlasting God. God is not only alive, God is creator. When have you read Genesis 1 and 2? Go back and read Genesis 1. Read that story of God working for 6 days and then resting on the seventh. Read about Him creating a woman out of the rib of the man in the second chapter. God is creator. Paul was preaching to the Athenians, the people of Athens, using the unknown God that I mentioned last week to say, that's the true and the living God. You don't know Him, but let me make you acquainted with Him. Let me introduce you to Him, or Him to you. And he said he was the creator. In the catechism, a series of questions and answers that the church used to use, I guess, but not in my lifetime, to teach young people and hopefully adults the basic doctrines of the Bible. Creation. In question 9 in the catechism, what is the work of creation? What are we talking about when we say God is creator? This is God. God making all things by the word of His power. Go back and read in Genesis how He spoke and it came into being. God making all things by the word of His power and all very good. You create something, you make something out of nothing. The earth was void and without form, and God took this void and made the earth and all therein. Jeremiah proclaimed, He, God, has made the earth by His power. He has established the world by His wisdom, and He has stretched out the heavens at His discretion. Why did God do it this way? Because He wanted to. And that was His privilege to do it that way. God is one. How many gods in your life? We say, what about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? That's one God. Three different, some groups call it manifestations or revelations of one. God says, I am the Lord. There is no other. There is no God beside me. I will gird you, though you have not known me. Even those people that don't know Him, He will still help them and care for them. Isaiah 45, verse 6, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is no other. We describe it as three persons. God is one God who makes Himself known in three distinct persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then God is Spirit, or God is a Spirit. Jesus said, God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Luke chapter 24, verse 39, Jesus has been crucified, He has been buried, but He rose again on the third day, and He is visiting with those disciples that He had trained and left behind. But while He was on earth for the 40 days, He visited with 500 people, or 500 people, according to Paul, saw Him. And in Luke chapter 24, verse 39, He comes to the disciples as they are gathered, and He wants to show that He really is alive, a physical body. Different body than the body He had before His crucifixion, but we call it a resurrected body. And He said to the disciples, behold my hands, behold my feet, talking about the scars in them, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see me. And then He says, if I was only in spirit form, you wouldn't be able to see me and touch me. But then, in the next phrase, He tells what a spirit is. What are you talking about, a spirit? He says, a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And this was his proof to those who even questioned his resurrection. And the disciples did not really understand it. They did not comprehend it, that he was in bodily form. But then he says, a spirit does not have a body attached to it. John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he describes a spirit as like the wind. We can't see the wind. Have you ever seen the wind? No, you haven't. If you think you have, you see evidence of the wind. See leaves blowing, but that's not the wind blowing. You feel the wind, but you can't see it. That's how he described it to Nicodemus. The spirit, born of the spirit, he talked about in that verse. So God is one. God is a spirit. God as a spirit is in direct contrast to a body. An invisible reality, somebody described it. Invisible but real. Or real but invisible. Not an abstract, not something of somebody's thinking or mind. A being, very real, but not being able to see it. But very active. Next thing, God is infinite. What are we talking about, infinite? As opposed to finite. Infinite. We are finite. We are limited in so many ways. Yes, we are. You are, I am. But infinite. God is boundless. There's no boundaries to God. He is endless in space. Wisdom. And he has an endless patience. Aren't we so glad of that one? We might not be so moved by the rest of it, but that God is patient. Especially when we know that he's going to be the judge. Determine our eternity. And he is so patient with us. In all of his attributes, in all of his powers, he is infinite or limitless. God is a personal God, or he has a personality, and he comes to us. I think I mentioned last week that the agnostic believed in God, but they didn't think you could have a personal relationship with him. God knows, and he knows all about us. He knows more than about us. He knows everything. God feels. Read the Bible. You'll find that God feels. God loves. He is love. John recorded it. God hears. One verse I may have... I'm not sure, but anyhow, it says, God's arm is not shortened, nor is his ear deaf. He can still hear us. That was from Isaiah. I'd have to look it up. God hears. He hears our prayers. He is not deaf. He has not turned a deaf ear to our prayers. He may say no sometime. He may say, you don't need that. You just think you do. He may say, wait a little while. And he may say yes. If something's going to harm us, sometimes we ask more often for things that we don't need than we do. We just think we need them. How many times did you tell your children that? You just think you need that. And I've heard our children, I forget even which one, but they say, but I need this. No, they didn't need it. They wanted it. They wanted it. And sometimes we want, but we don't need. It's better for us if we don't get. God hears our prayers, and he answers our prayers according to his holy will. His will. God acts intelligently on our behalf.
God acts intelligently. We're not always guilty of acting intelligently, are we? I've done some stupid things in my life. I've even planned for my funeral for my friends to come by and tell the stupid things that Larry did. Some of them even in the pulpit. And Carol has got a list of 40 years, you know. And I've done some stupid things. You have too, haven't you? I wouldn't let that just all fall on me. We've all done some stupid things, but God acts intelligently, and He does it in our behalf, and especially in our behalf. And God, one way to put it, is He enters into a father-child relationship with us. Thus, we can say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, our Father Almighty, and we can pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, or who is in heaven. What about you and God? What about you and God? What kind of relationship do you have with God? Is it run and hide because you're fearful? Adam and Eve did that. Or is it, good morning, God. It's good to be with you. Glad I can come to fellowship with you. Thanks for salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. The reason Jesus came to earth, or one of the reasons, He said, I came to seek and to save the lost. Put it this way, Jesus came to earth to give us first-hand knowledge about God. But I wrote that word hand, and I do a manuscript or somewhat of a manuscript for my sermons. Always have and always hope to. But I thought, first-hand knowledge? No, it's deeper than that. Jesus came to earth to give us a heart knowledge of God. A heart knowledge of God. We come to God the Father through Jesus the Son. And it's Jesus that brings us into that personal relationship. He paid for our sins on Calvary. We're going to sing number 10. We're going to sing number 10, and it's kind of it's Oh, Worship the King. And I want us to change that, Oh, Worship the King. It's not Scripture, so we can change a jot or a tittle, right? We worship the King. Let's put we in the place of oh. We worship the King. Is it all glorious and bright? Okay, we worship the King. And let's sing verse 1 and verse 4 and express ourselves before God as His people living under His lordship, His authority. And if you happen to have a public response to make to God this morning, maybe it's to express your trust in Jesus. Or maybe it's something else. You're invited to make that public response here at the front of the congregation as we sing 1 and 4 of verse 10. ¶¶